Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Working People Talk About What They Do All Day and How They Feel About What They Do is a nonfiction oral history by Studs Terkel, first published in 1974. Rather than presenting a conventional sociological study, the book assembles more than 100 interviews with Americans from a wide range of occupations, including laborers, service workers, clerical employees, tradespeople, managers, and executives. Terkel's purpose is to explore what work means in daily life, not only how people earn a living, but how they experience dignity, frustration, boredom, pride, exhaustion, and identity through employment. The book is built around firsthand testimony, so its power comes from the variety of voices and the contrast between what different workers value in their jobs. As a result, it functions both as a portrait of the American workforce and as a meditation on the emotional and social costs of labor. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, oral history is a method for letting workers define work in their own words. The defining feature of working is its oral history approach. Terkel does not impose a single theory of labor or reduce workers to statistics. Instead, he records extended conversations and allows people to speak from their own experience. That method matters because work is shown as something lived differently by each person, not as a uniform category. A clerk, a gravedigger, a fireman, a factory hand, and a corporate manager may all have jobs, but the meaning of those jobs is shaped by class, personality, authority, and daily conditions. By preserving the texture of speech, hesitation, humor, and resentment, Terkel reveals emotions that would be lost in a more formal survey. The result is not simply a collection of opinions, but a record of how people make sense of their labor in real time. This gives the book its documentary value and explains why it remains useful in teaching and discussion. It makes abstract ideas about work concrete through lived testimony. Secondly, work as a search for dignity, meaning, and survival. A central idea in the book is that work is rarely experienced as purely economic. People work to survive, but they also measure their jobs by whether they provide dignity, purpose, and some sense of usefulness. Terkel repeatedly shows that daily labor can be a source of self-respect when it allows people to feel needed, competent, or connected to others. Yet it can also become humiliating when it is repetitive, arbitrary, or poorly rewarded. This tension is one of the book's most important insights. Employment is not only about wages, but about whether a person can find daily meaning in the act of working itself. That is why many interviews feel emotionally charged, even when the tasks described are ordinary. The book argues, indirectly but persistently, that a job can either affirm or diminish a person. By gathering so many accounts, Terkel demonstrates that this question of meaning is not limited to one occupation or class. It is a widespread human concern across the labor market. Thirdly, the uneven emotional rewards of different kinds of labor. Working suggests that the emotional experience of work depends greatly on the relationship between a worker and other people. Some of the strongest expressions of satisfaction come from jobs that involve direct human contact, especially where the work has visible consequences for others. In those cases, workers may feel that their effort matters in an immediate and morally legible way. By contrast, many jobs described in the book produce alienation because the worker is isolated from the final purpose of the labor, treated as replaceable, or trapped in routines that do not invite creativity. The book does not claim that all service or manual work is unrewarding. Rather, it shows how the structure of a job can shape whether pride or bitterness dominates. This difference helps explain why the same work can be described as degrading by one person and bearable, even meaningful, by another. Terkel's broad sampling makes clear that satisfaction is tied not only to prestige or pay, but to autonomy, recognition, and human connection. Fourthly, a portrait of class, hierarchy, and the hidden costs of modern employment, the book is also an account of class relations in the United States. Its interviews reveal how authority, wages, gender roles, and job security shape the way people experience everyday life. Many speakers describe work as exhausting not just because of physical labor, but because of the pressure of being managed, evaluated, or dismissed by institutions that seem indifferent to individual welfare. This is where the book becomes quietly political. It shows that the workplace is a site where power is felt directly, often in intimate and personal ways. Terkel captures the emotional costs of that hierarchy, including fatigue, resentment, fear, and resignation. At the same time, he avoids turning workers into symbols. The people in the book are contradictory, thoughtful, and sometimes ambivalent about their own jobs, which makes the social portrait more credible. The cumulative effect is a broad critique of labor systems that demand endurance while offering limited respect or stability in return. Lastly, why working endures as both social document and teaching text, working remains influential because it does more than preserve period voices from the 1970s. It offers a model for how to study work through attention to lived experience, rather than only through economics or management theory. That makes it valuable for readers interested in labor history, sociology, journalism, education, and organizational behavior in classrooms. The book helps students see that workplace concepts such as motivation, alienation, authority, and morale are not abstract terms, but realities shaped by daily routines and unequal power. It also remains historically revealing. The interviews capture an American workplace on the edge of major changes brought by automation, corporate restructuring, and shifting service economies. Even so, the book does not read as a narrow time capsule. Its focus on the human meaning of labor gives it lasting relevance, especially in discussions about job quality, respect at work, and the gap between employment as necessity and employment as fulfillment. That combination of documentary breadth and emotional accuracy is what separates it from more conventional books about work. In conclusion, Working is best suited for readers who want to understand labor as a human experience rather than only an economic function. It will especially benefit students, teachers, historians, managers, journalists, and general readers interested in American social life. Unlike books that analyze work through theory alone, Terkel builds his meaning through voices, allowing readers to encounter the contradictions of labor directly: pride mixed with fatigue, necessity mixed with resentment, and routine mixed with moments of real purpose. That makes the book intellectually rich and emotionally persuasive at the same time. Its lasting value lies in the range of occupations represented and in the seriousness with which it treats ordinary workers. It does not romanticize labor, but it also does not reduce people to victims. Instead, it shows how work shapes identity, dignity, and daily consciousness. Compared with similar books on labor or management, Working stands out because it is rooted in testimony, not abstraction. It remains one of the clearest portraits of how people actually feel about what they do for a living. If you would like to support Studs Terkel, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.